Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
We've been looking through some of the themes in the Apostles' Creed found in the Marvel's movies. We've seen themes pertaining to God the Father, Creator, God the Son, Redeemer. Redemption is a big part of all storytelling. And we're in the middle of the third article of the Creed that pertains to the work of the Holy Spirit, the personal work of the Holy Spirit. One of those things we've talked about in the past, and we're going to talk about here, is the resurrection of the body. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're talking about themes from the Apostles' Creed and the Marvel's movies. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And he made a presentation at a recent Lutheran youth conference titled Marvel's Movies and the Creed, Defend, Guard, Protect, Avenge. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Ted, when we were talking before, we were exploring all the various creedal themes in these Marvel movies, and we left off, if I'm not mistaken, with the communion of saints. What's the next creedal theme that we're going to hear about in these Marvel movies?
The next part of the creed that we would move into would be the part that talks about the resurrection of the body. So 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So this clip is from the movie The Guardians of the Galaxy, which we reviewed in August of 2014, so last year around this time. So we'll listen to the clip, and then we'll see how it all kind of connects together.
Look, Will, stopping Ronan, it's impossible. You're asking us to die. Yeah, I guess I am.
Quill. I have lived most of my life surrounded by my enemies. I will be grateful to die among my friends.
You are an honorable man, Quill. I will fight beside you. And in the end, see my wife and daughter again. I am Groot.
What the hell? I don't got that long a lifespan anyway. Now I'm standing. You all happy?
Okay, make the connection for us, if you would, Pastor Giese.
Yeah, this is, group of people in this Guardians of the Galaxy. This is their moment of self-sacrifice where they willingly decide to go and, like, die to save everyone. Again, they are all gathered together in this group to do this work, so there's that. But really, for the resurrection of the body, this clip is super important because in it, each of those characters get up and say something, and the character of Drax, who the villain Ronan has killed his wife and daughter, the character of Drax gets up and he says that he has a hope of seeing his wife and daughter again if he should die. Now, this should be pretty interesting to people because if you remember this movie at all, if you saw it, there is something very interesting about the character of Drax. He's very, very literal character. So we have another video clip here that will, some audio that will connect all this together.
I have a plan! I have a plan!
Cease your yammering and relieve us from this irksome confinement.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with the walking thesaurus on that one.
Do not ever call me a thesaurus.
It's just a metaphor, dude.
His people are completely literal. Metaphors are gonna go over his head.
Nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it.
I'm going to die surrounded by the biggest idiots in the galaxy.
So what's the connection you want to make there?
So the connection there is that if he is going to see his wife and daughter again, and he is super-duper literal in that regard, that the resurrection of the body would be a super interesting thing to him as a character. So this is one of those moments where... it kind of just clicks in your head, maybe if you're watching the movie and you find it to be very interesting. Everything about him is super literal. So if he's going to see them again, he's going to literally see them again. He would be either somebody who believes in the doctrine of the resurrection of the body or would be super open to believing in the resurrection of the body as a doctrine, and he would take to it like fish to water. So this makes Drax my favorite character in the movie because he is so literal and he has a hope to see his wife and daughter again. And we as Christians, when we confess the creed, we're looking forward not to just some kind of spiritual existence with, in terms of a happy reunion, but that we would actually on the last day be risen from the dead. We would have the resurrection of the body. We would see each other physically in eternity with Christ in heaven, and this is one of those moments where it kind of all starts to point directly in that direction and is pretty interesting. So in terms then of the last part of the creed and the life everlasting, we have a clip now from the movie The Wolverine, which we did a review of in 2013.
Eternity can be a curse. The losses you have had to suffer. A man can run out of things to live for. Lose his purpose. That hurt.
I wouldn't bother with them. I've been trying to find you for over a year. My employer is dying. He wants to thank you for saving his life. It's an honor to meet the Wolverine.
That's not who I am anymore.
I didn't send for you only to thank you, Logan. I wanted to repay you. A gift to equal the life you gave me. You have struggled long enough. Our company can do anything. I can make you mortal.
Explain the connection there for us, Pastor Giese.
Well, eternal life. This is what they're looking at in this movie, and it's the big question throughout the whole film. And what the Wolverine, this Logan, the character Wolverine, has is something that looks like eternal life, everlasting life. It's a sort of everlasting life. He can't die. His body quickly repairs itself when it's injured. And while his body is like very strong, his mind and soul, by the beginning of this film, is weak. And he's looking at this kind of longing for death. He can't wait to die. Because he's tired of living. There's a Japanese man, Yoshida, who the Wolverine saves from death back in World War II at the beginning of the film. And he's the one in that audio that is waxing eloquently about eternity, death, purpose, and meaning. And this man turns out to be the villain in the film. And he's trying to have the Wolverine give him some biological samples off of him so he can use it to get this everlasting life for himself. But in the apex of the film, as they're having this big fight, and you know how this goes, there's like, it's noisy, there's explosions and clanging and all of this kind of stuff, so you can almost miss some of this dialogue. But the villain says to the Wolverine, your mistake was to believe that a life without end can have no meaning. It is the only life that can. So again, you've got a villain character like Loki earlier on, who is pointing to an actual truth that, and in this case, it's a much clearer one, that eternal life is something that is very important, and it is the kind of life that is the life that has true meaning. And of course, the reason it has that is because of Christ Jesus, who is the truth and the way and the life. So as a Christian, when we're looking at eternity and thinking about eternal life, it's not so much a thing for now here, but it is a promise that we've received, a gift that we have in our baptism. And this is where it all fits in with the third article of the Creed, that this is now being delivered to us by the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, we are going to have that in Christ on the last day for eternity. But it's not going to involve fighting giant samurai robots.
So how would you bring all of this together?
So some kind of concluding thoughts, perhaps, is that, you know, the purpose of looking at a set of movies like this, or any movie, I guess, in this way, is it's not to encourage some kind of like syncretism or anything like that, but it's rather it's to have you bring your confession of faith with you into the movie to make sure that you are able to fall back on what you've been learning, particularly for confirmation kids. This was at the Higher Things Youth Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, the Te Deum Conference here just this year, so that people will, you know, take the opportunity to compare, contrast what they're looking at with what they believe and what they confess, what the church teaches. So some concluding ideas then, I guess, on the big scale of things, like this whole idea of the Avengers within this Marvel universe. At the beginning, we were talking a little bit about how in the first article of the Creed, the work of God is that he, in the first person of the Trinity, is that he defends us against all danger and guards and protects us from all evil. Specifically that he doesn't just do this for us as a whole, but for me as an individual particularly. So when we're thinking about all of this, and it's in part, in ways, in certain kind of moments, pointing to the work of God doing these things, the work of God being the true avenger, maybe then we need to think about how does that actually happen? So this would be the additional thought, the next step on the track. And that's what we want to do all of this stuff for, is so that we continue to think and reflect on what we're watching and thinking about. So how does God do the work of avenging? He does it through Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. God the Father does it through the other two persons of the Holy Trinity, and vocationally through the people around us who have the vocation of the sword, or who work in kind of support capacity with that. So first responders, and particularly police officers and military, people like that. So in the meantime then, as Christians, how do we interact with all this? Like St. Paul says, and this is the best thing to do, is go back to Scripture itself to find an answer. So St. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And then in Romans chapter 13, he kind of really lays that out about how it works, that every person be subject to the governing authorities, and that through them, God is working. And it talks about how if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword, speaking of the government that's been placed in place by God. He does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So that's from Romans chapter 13. And again, just like all of us, if you have the vocation of the sword, it's laid out in front of you. Am I going to do good work in my vocation, or am I going to be lazy? Am I going to take advantage of it? Am I going to be selfish in that regard? So that kind of connects maybe into this whole Marvel universe, too. You can see where these two brothers, Thor and Loki, the one is maybe a little more altruistic, the other one is definitely not. Both of them do kind of do things for their own, but you do have these characters who are self-sacrificing for the good of others. So the true resurrection of the body, the true everlasting life will be the final vindication against all suffering, pain, torment, acts of violence, plots of evil, all the kind of things that we see in these Avenger movies.
So you're really finally here talking about allowing the creed to shape our way of thinking, our way of even consuming media like this, and not just simply kind of mining these things for insights, but in fact, taking the creed into the theater with us.
Yeah, and you know, if you are doing as Luther suggests, and you're confessing it daily, it's more and more becoming a real touchstone for your way of looking at the world around you, and the movies that you see, the television you watch, the books you read, the music you listen to, all of those things, the art that you consume, all of that stuff, then as a Christian, you're going to be looking at it through the lens of the Apostles' Creed. And it's great because it's succinct, it's easy to start to learn. You're going to learn it all the way through your whole entire life, but it's a great place to start for interacting with all of these things.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And he made a presentation at a Lutheran youth conference titled Marvel Movies and the Creed, Defend, Guard, Protect, Avenge. You'll find a link to his movie reviews at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.